This is Jeff Davis with the Alignment Podcast, where we explore sales and marketing alignment strategy for B2B businesses. Make sure to visit jeffdavis2.com for all things alignment. Now let's talk about how to create togetherness.
In this episode, I speak with Nancy Narden, founder of Smart Selling Tools and co-founder of Vendor Neutral. In our conversation, we discuss that it's no longer about sales or marketing tech stacks, it's about a revenue tech stack. The basic components you need to have in that revenue tech stack to be effective, how AI is helping us sell smarter, and last but not least, why leaders should invest more in sales technology now to win. With that said, let's jump into the episode. Nancy, thank you for joining the podcast.
Great to be here, Jeff. I really appreciate the invite.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to talk to you from a technology standpoint. I know a lot of executives are confused because there's so much stuff coming out. It's good stuff, but it's just a lot to take in. So what I want to dive into with you is to help us understand from a strategic standpoint what type of tools that we need so that these leaders can really sit down and have a thoughtful conversation about what they need to invest their time and energy in. But before we start that, for those that are not familiar with you and your work, tell us who Nancy Narden is.
Nancy Narden. Well, I have a background in sales. I'm proud to say I've been in sales for about 30 years now. I started in Silicon Valley in the early 80s at a startup called Grid, which was the world's first laptop computer. And at the time, we had to figure out how are we going to sell these things when not everyone even had a desktop PC on their desk. And this was before CRM, before even the concept of a digital slideshow. I've been involved in technology and sales this my whole career, basically. And I've also worked for a number of analyst firms. And about 9 years ago, I said to myself, what can I do to really bring value to the industry, given my experience? And that's when I created Smart Selling Tools. And we offer free resources for sales, sales ops, sales enablement, marketing ops, to learn about technologies that can help them grow revenue.
Nice. And the one thing that I love about your background is you're a strong sales professional. To you, what does sales and marketing alignment mean?
Well, that is a good question. First of all, I just want to recognize that the term itself has kind of lost some power because we've used that term so freely for so long. But I think now it's actually gaining its power back because it is so critical. Because we're not just talking about like what should a marketing tech stack be or sales tech stack. We're really talking about revenue stack. Mm-hmm. And that involves both sales and marketing. So to me, sales and marketing alignment means working together in a cohesive way so that you have a plan that everyone agrees on that's going to end up driving more revenue than you do today.
Yeah. And the one thing that I talked to a lot of folks about, which I've been trying to figure out through having these type of conversation, what is that basic revenue stack that a B2B company needs today to sell effectively? What are those groups of tools that they need?
Well, you know, that's such a great question. We have a sales stack maturity model, which paints the picture of what does it look like if you have technology at the white belt stage. In other words, you're kind of a beginner all the way up to a black belt stage. And then it's a way, just a framework for people to understand, well, if we need help in this particular area, let's take a look at where we're at today. And then we can see, well, what are the technologies that will get us to the next level? You know, not three levels beyond that, but to the next one. So we can, you know, iterate in terms of our sophistication. Mm-hmm. But in reality, across the board, what we're seeing is that there's lots of room for improvement. Most companies are at the blue belt level for most of what we call the revenue hierarchy, and some are at the white belt level for some of those levels. So let me just explain. So for instance, knowing who it is that we need to sell to, you know, the ICP, making sure salespeople have a targeted list, they figured out the low-hanging fruit, what they should be selling to who, and they've got a plan, and they know how to reach those people. That's all the someone to sell to. I think most companies today are still at the blue belt level. which is only one level up from beginner. So, you know, yes, we have LinkedIn. That would be sort of a white belt level. We have, but the blue belts would add some sort of lead list building service so that a rep can go in and find the right contact or the right companies. Marketing can go and do the same thing so that they can develop and create their campaigns. At this point, we also have web visitor tracking built in. So that's an example of blue belt level. I think people are there. And then let's just say CRM, of course, it comes in at the blue belt level. For value propositions and things like that, we're still at the white belt level, which is essentially using PowerPoint to create, you know, content that you can then present to the customer. And there's a lot of room, obviously, for improvement from a technology perspective for that as well. So I would say that's the basic. Beyond the web visitor tracking would be your pure marketing automation kinds of solution. So it's a little bit more sophisticated than web visitor tracking.
Okay. The one thing that I consistently hear is that there is either pushback or an unwillingness to put resources toward buying or purchasing data for the organization. What's your stance on the importance of adding data to that stack?
Well, I think you'd be crazy not to. I mean, I think that pretty much tells you my feelings on it. But here's the thing. I mean, sometimes companies, they already know. They have a defined ecosystem in their industry, and they know who they're selling to. But even then, I think they need that because the market and the industries change, and they may have some customers they could be selling to or prospects that they're not even aware of because they haven't defined it in a way that they can identify those people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say a database solution is really critical. It doesn't mean that people are going to be using it all day, every day. So that's the problem. I think a lot of people think, well, we only use it, once a week or whatever, so we don't really need it. Well, that's not true.
Yeah. The one thing that I read was, and I thought it was compelling enough for me to really get behind this, is that people are changing positions much faster than they historically have. So who may be in that role today, 6 months or year out, is not there. And so if you have stale data that's not being refreshed on a regular basis, you really are doing yourself a disservice, and especially sales folks. So then I reach out, that person's no longer there. They may have moved to another role or a different company. And then we're starting that whole process over again. So yeah. I thought that was very true and compelling. And so that's why the data thing made sense to me.
You're right. And I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's definitely true. I remember some kind of statistic about just like sales managers and sales reps. You know, it's really the average tenure at a company is not many years in a row. So
right.
Even our own people are leaving and moving to different companies. And so your prospects certainly are. The database goes out of date. I think it's something like 30% of your data. Don't quote me on that. I mean, we should look up the stat, but it's a big chunk.
Yeah, I agree.
Of your data goes out of date. And the problem is you don't know which 30% that is.
Right.
The other thing, and I do remember the stat on this, and it's that if you contact someone during a trigger event and they are like thinking about the types of things that you're selling, so you happen to call on that person and be the first one in the door, you have a 74% chance of winning that deal. So being first in the door depends on being the first one to know that there's a new person in that role.
Yeah. It also makes me think of if you have a longer sales cycle and assume you have more people in the decision-making process, it's even more critical because as you are building these relationships and moving the conversation along, as those people change and come in and out of that conversation, you need to know so that you can engage them early and bring them up to speed. Because the longer that you don't know who it is, and I think that just stalls and potentially may kill a deal.
Absolutely. And CSO Gartner, you know, they've gone from, it used to be 5.4 members of the buying team to now it's 6.8. And for anyone who has sold to large enterprise accounts like I have, I mean, I don't even believe that number. I believe it's probably something closer to 20, because if you count, you know, everyone who gets their fingers in on it, you know, might even be an IT person for a brief moment because they're looking at it from the technology perspective. So, yeah.
Yeah, it can make it challenging.
I think we just sold everyone on the fact that they need a database solution. I hope we did.
And done with that. So talking about more advanced revenue stacks, let's talk about how AI and some of the more advanced tools are going to be used in that revenue stack. What are your thoughts on that? And inform our folks that may be closer to that black belt level.
There is a lot of AI technology coming out, and it's going to have a real key place, but we're not there yet. I can tell you a few examples of where it is, you know, working, and we are implementing it, but I think we have such opportunity to have, quote, the systems that we all use, to have them work more for us. Rather than us having to work the systems. And that will require some sort of machine learning and AI so that it knows how to understand the data and then deliver up what we need. And one example of where that's happening has to do with sales and marketing alignment, and that's in the sales enablement space. So you've got solutions that are analyzing what stage the opportunity is in and what industry the person is in, and maybe even the department or role. And then it is recommending the content that's the most relevant for that particular opportunity so that the salesperson doesn't have to figure it out for themselves. So that's one example of AI in action. There's a couple others I like. Another one is a solution that, let's say you come back from a trade show or you're just running large SEM campaigns. And so you're getting thousands of leads at a time. Well, those aren't necessarily leads, right? They're just kind of a name or somebody has expressed some level of interest, but they're not qualified. So do you want your salespeople spending time with those leads? Or do you want a way to contact and qualify those leads at scale without using the sales rep's time? Right. And so that's where this AI or artificial human comes into place. I'm talking about Conversica. Okay. And they have an email, you know, artificial human that will respond to those leads as if they're just a helper, right? Hey, I saw that you had stopped by our booth, and may I be of assistance to help schedule something with one of our sales representatives? Is this the number we should be calling? That's all done with artificial intelligence.
I like that. Then that frees up the time for the salesperson to actually focus on selling.
And it kind of smooths over that rough spot, that discourse that we have between marketing and sales, where sales said these leads are crap and marketing says, but they're leads, you know, we got to do something with them.
Yeah. So you mentioned something that made me think. It seems like we have this technology, this great technology, but there seems to be a gap between the selling process that we're currently using and the technology we have available to leverage. How do we start to close that gap? Because that seems like that's one of the issues, one of the major issues that we're seeing.
Well, it is kind of odd because we have close to 500 sales technologies available. So it's in a way hard to believe that there's a gap. And anyone who's familiar with Scott Brinker's marketing tech landscape, you know, there's 5,000 plus on the marketing side. I think the reason why we sense that there's a gap is because we're still low in the maturity model. Even though there's 500 tools, most people are at the blue belt level or less and in different areas. That's one reason. So we're just not there yet. Marketing is much further ahead than sales in terms of adoption. Marketing's got a lot more budget for technology. They've got more of an experimental, you know, culture and philosophy. Sales, you know, they're told that you got to focus on getting the number. And so experimenting with tech is kind of low on their list. So that's a second reason. And then the third reason is that there's not a lot of integration between the different tools. And until that happens, it's going to seem real clumsy. Well, I'm using this tool here, but then in order to make use of this tool's content, I've got to look it up in something else. And how do they all integrate together? There's not much of a unified view of functionality or information across these tools.
So then would you recommend, as a business leader, should I be devoting more budget and resources to helping sales catch up on the technology front, because we've traditionally diverted that money to marketing to allow them to, as you said, explore. So that's what we really need to be doing as a
Definitely.
Business.
Sales is the, in my opinion, it is the most under-automated department in an organization. Yeah, I think that is a really important thing. We're also afraid to spend money. I survey end users and ask them about what they're spending. And even though they say they have about six sales tools that they use, they say they only spend about $125 a month, which is totally inconsistent with having six sales tools. I mean, that's about the cost of a Salesforce license. So that's just one tool. I'm recommending that people budget 10% of a sales rep's compensation in sales tools for that salesperson.
Interesting. Now, what that made me think of is, how do you invest that money, really try to push sales forward from a technology standpoint without causing anxiety from a salesperson standpoint that I'm going to be replaced by technology? Because I feel like that is a thing. Right?
That's a great question, because there is a lot of anxiety and there's poor user adoption because of it. And also other reasons like lack of training and commitment and those types of things. But I think the answer is, first and foremost, make sure it's going to actually help your salesperson. There's so many tools where it's sales quickly realize that, hey, this really wasn't meant for me. This is really meant so that my managers can get the information they need.
Uh-huh.
And you know, so let's make sure that we're really looking at it, even if, God forbid, it's not going to help us as a manager, which is never the case. But let's just say it's not going to even help us. So what? If it helps the salesperson, and that in turn then helps them drive more revenue and maybe even create a more pleasing customer experience, then it should be done. So look at it from the sales rep's perspective. Still today, I will say that vendors are changing their message to sell their solutions to include what it does for the manager, because it's not enough. They can't sell their solution simply by talking about what it does for a salesperson, and that's not right.
So in the little time we have left, a couple more questions. The main one I go to next in my mind is, where do most executives get it wrong when choosing new technology for either sales or marketing, but really more so around this alignment idea and this kind of revenue stack? Where do they get it wrong?
I think they get it wrong because they do it isolated. They make isolated decisions. Marketing will make their decisions. Sales will make their decisions. But there's not a coordinated agreement on what the strategy should be.
Okay.
That's a big cultural issue. And, you know, we talked, I think, about people and process. Maybe that was before we started the recording. But, you know, it's technology doesn't matter by itself. It only matters in support of the whole thing, people process. So, yeah.
And it makes sense, though, what we talked about earlier, and I'm glad you brought up the term revenue stack, that instead of looking at it as marketing technology or marketing stack versus sales stack, it really is a revenue stack. And I think that will inherently cause us to make decisions that are aligned for both parts of the organization. We look at what technology can we use in order to just drive revenue for
us. Yeah. So there should be someone who oversees that whole revenue process and says, okay, we're going to understand it from the marketing perspective and the sales perspective, and we're going to figure out how to bring resources to bear so that it's a nice, you know, seamless transition. And we know what marketing is doing in support of sales throughout the entire sales funnel. We're still very focused at the top of the funnel. You know, marketing is measured on how many leads they deliver, and we've got to push that down into the sales funnel further if we really want to align marketing and sales.
So last key takeaway for our listening audience today, from your perspective, what is the one thing or theme the executive team should keep in mind when they are trying to align sales and marketing and drive revenue?
I would say it's don't try to do it alone. Don't try to just have marketing in one room and sales in another. talk to, and also not just management level, talk to salespeople, watch that. Marketing should go on a ride along with sales. You know, immerse yourself in what sales actually goes through. Learn about, ask questions, find out what sales needs, learn it from their perspective. I'd say that would be the main advice and takeaway that I have in order for alignment to occur.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, all great points. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective from a technology standpoint. I think it's going to help us think through things and hopefully make better purchasing decisions for our team.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, it was really fun to be here. And I'll just say that, you know, we do have a report that's available from our site that steps people through the process of thinking through the technology. It's a 67-page report, so it's very action-oriented. And, you know, people can get that from going to our website.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to visit me at jeffdavis2.com and follow me on Twitter at jeff_davis2. Did today's conversation resonate with you? Then share with your colleagues to help the Alignment Podcast grow. Join us for the next episode where we continue to talk about how to create togetherness.